Welcome to the Whitetail Obsession Podcast with Dave Richmond and co-host Chris Worthing, where we talk and teach everything deer and turkey hunting related. Follow along as we help teach you tips and techniques about hunting, food plots, and habitat management strategies that everyone can use.
That's just because you're old and you got no blood flow.
That too.
I'm keeping that in the podcast, by the way.
I will kill you. I will share your thumbnail out.
Do it again.
I will share it out.
I saw that and I look like Angry Dave.
Angry Dave.
Yep. Like when you lost my socket in the woods.
Yeah, whatever.
Podcast 67, guys. I'm keeping all that in the podcast, so just so you know, it's podcast 67.
Oh, geez.
Somebody will find it funny.
Someone will find it funny.
Yeah.
Or that other guy will say that we're not ready.
We're not ready.
We're not ready. We're never ready.
Oh, yeah, we're never ready.
Always fooling around.
Always fooling around, yep. So we got a few discussions tonight and just a couple things to talk about. One may get me fired up a smidge. But other than that, it's a pretty laid-back, peaceful podcast here.
Yeah.
Right? Unless you're grumpy.
I'm always grumpy.
Chris is grumpy again, guys.
Yeah. I got too much stuff going on.
I hear you. Okay, so why don't we just get a couple things out of the way here real quick, and then we'll jump into everything. I leave tomorrow for a consulting visit in South Central Virginia, and it's 300 acres, so I'm going to be down there for 3 days. And instead of getting a hotel this time, I booked an Airbnb. And it was cheaper than a hotel, and I get an entire house that it's a cabin that sits on the water. I get an entire house to myself. Mm-hmm. No hotel. I ain't got to deal with a hotel or nothing. Best thing ever. So I'm on these extended consulting trips more than one day. I'll get a hotel if it's just one day or something. I get a hotel, but if it's more than one day, I'm going with these Airbnbs.
So do you like pack your own food for that or what?
Yeah. Bring your own food. They provide the towels, the pots and pans, the grills, the laundry detergent, like everything. Huh. You just have to bring food. And I like it because usually if I'm consulting or something for a day or two, I'm eating, you know, Wawa or Sheetz gas station food. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, like today I went grocery shopping. I'm taking my own food with me. They got a grill there. I can grill food, chicken, whatever. I can cook all my own food. So Airbnb is going to be where it's at for these extended days.
Yeah.
And it was 30 bucks cheaper a night than a hotel. So,
well, in a week or so here, I'm going to be going down to, and you know the guy. Remember Chris, the state cop?
Yeah.
We talked last night. I'm going to be heading down his place next week here. He's on vacation for a week. When he gets back, we're going to hook up and go down, check out his property. He's got a new chunk there. He wants to show me that we didn't look at last time when we was there.
That's the one, the guy we planted for, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's cool.
Yep. So I'll be doing that next week, about this time, probably when he gets home. He's visiting his son.
Nice.
So that's what I got going on.
Yeah. That's cool. And then as everybody has watched my YouTube video, I lost my drone. So.
Yeah. You didn't even tell me. I found out in the comment section.
Yeah.
And I was going to be a jerk and write some stupid stuff, but I thought, no, because I would be highly upset if I lost my drone.
Yeah, so I was at the farm last week, and I did some cutting, which we'll get into at the end of this. But I haven't flown my drone in 2 years, and it was very expensive. It was, I shouldn't say very expensive.
It was operator error.
Well, not this time. I paid $800 for the drone. $800, and it was a good drone. It wasn't nowhere near top of the line, but it was a DJI drone. Took amazing video, stability, like it was smooth video, everything. Haven't flown it in 2 years. Well, I decided, I said, man, I got to get back into aerial videos and stuff like that. So I took it with me. And all I wanted to do was take it over the woods and get like an aerial view of where I was cutting at, to explain it better in the video. Well, I started it up, connected to my phone. The battery said 99%. I was like, good to go. I took it up, straight up. I started flying it real slow, and I was recording the video. I was taking it back, take it back. I did what I had to do. I went a little bit further. I turned it around as it was coming back. I mean, it's not that far. It was coming back. The battery went from 99% to 1%. I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, I'm freaking out. I got full throttle trying to come back to me. Nope. It started landing. It was going down, down. And I could still steer it. And I tried to steer it in a, you can see in the video where I tried to steer it into an open area in the woods. No. It lost before it crashed. The battery, it fully died. And these things have GPS. So I literally tracked it. GPS. I look for hours. No drone. It's stuck in a treetop or something.
Oh my.
So long story short, that drone is gone. And I had to buy another drone, which is funny. When I bought that drone, drones were really expensive. The one I got now is an upgrade from that one, and I only paid $300 for it.
Oh, so it's way cheaper.
Way cheaper. Which I haven't flown it yet. I'm going to take it with me on a consulting trip and see if he'll let me take some aerial videos. I got to talk to him about it. But cool. Yeah. So let's jump into it.
All right.
You had a topic tonight. You saw a bunch of people talking about. So what is that?
Yeah, I was looking around the internet and I seen some folks talking about signs that they have too many deer. Mm. And one of the things I just read tonight, a local paper reported that Pennsylvania has killed in two consecutive years now over 400,000 deer in a season.
Each season?
Each season. So mm-hmm. That's 800,000 deer killed in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're looking like we got a critical condition here. I mean, no wonder you're having all these collisions and things, and, you know, insurance companies are paying out all this money. Obviously, we got a big uptick in population happening here, an explosion. And I think a lot of it happens to be because, you know, the younger generation's not interested anymore and the older generation's dying off.
Right.
You know, and I think there's a lack of people hunting, but yet they're saying we're killing more and more deer. How is that possible? You know, well, the population is coming up and people are getting a lot of licenses, I believe, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 doe tags or whatever, you know. So they're saying we're killing a lot of deer, but, you know, but you can drive down a road or something, you don't very rarely see other people hunting, you know.
Yeah, I've noticed that too, where in PA, where my farm is, I have to pass public land. Mm-hmm. And very seldom do I see people there.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's just area specific. And, you know, maybe they're killing, slaughtering them in other places. But I'm not seeing, like, I'm not saying they're lying, but I'm just wondering where these statistics come from sometimes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because it just doesn't seem to be jiving out. I mean,
well,
one minute, the game commission's crying, saying that, you know, we don't have any people hunting anymore. And then they turn around and say, we've got two record kills 2 years in a row. You know, how is that?
So I just did a simple Google search and it's saying there's 1.5 million deer in PA.
Okay.
And it says there's an estimated 1.5 million deer, about 30 deer per square mile, which is pretty average. Yeah. So 1.5 million deer. Estimated. I don't know where I was going with that, but I just,
well, so we posed a question. How do you know, do you know how many deer you have on your property? I mean, without doing a survey, you know, or a thermal drone, you know, count or something, but what's the signs that you have too many deer in your area.
Well, I wanted to touch on something real quick before we get into that, is that the numbers that these guys that they come up with, I don't think they're accurate at all. And the reason I say that is because in Maryland, people play the system. So what happens in Maryland is when you buy your license, you automatically get a buck tag and doe tags. Most counties in Maryland, there is unlimited does. You're allowed to get a second buck tag, okay? But in order to kill your second buck, you have to kill two does. So what people do is they shoot a buck, and then they call in, because it's a phone system. You call in a doe the next day. You call in a doe the next day, and then boom, even though you didn't kill a doe,
right?
All of a sudden, boom, you kill two does, you can go buy a second buck tag.
They just fraudulently say, hey, right. I killed my two does, so now I'm going after my second buck.
So they're getting these numbers.
Gotcha.
And all of a sudden, okay, that's two does killed. Mm-hmm. No, it's not. But how many people are doing that?
Right.
And how is Pennsylvania getting these numbers? Are because you know that they're going by licensed sales, but then in Pennsylvania, obviously, if you kill a deer, you have to report it.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. So the numbers, I believe, like people aren't, not everybody's truthful, but I don't think the numbers are accurate at all.
Yeah, I just wonder, you know, sometimes I question it, you know, just like the bear numbers too, you know, they're always saying that every year they're like, oh, record kill, you know, and it's like, wow, how are they figuring it out? You know?
Right. Yeah. There's a lot of variables, I guess.
I don't know. But anyhow, so what's some signs you think that we've got too many deer in our area?
Well, right off the top of my head, I would say unhealthy, skinny-looking deer.
Okay.
And I've noticed that some areas in Maryland have it. When you start getting in areas where there's a bunch of houses and things and they tear out woods and they build houses and it crams all these deer crunched together.
Yeah.
You start looking at the deer and they're just scraggly looking, you know, the ribs are showing. Well, in areas that don't have that situation where the deer per square mile aren't say above 30 or something, 25, 30, those you don't see the ribs. So there's a clear indication with the ribs showing. And I bring that up all the time and I don't really, and honestly, that lit my brain up at the old farm when that first year that I, cause in Maryland, the areas that I've hunted my entire life, I've never seen deer that the ribs were showing.
Right.
When I got that lease at the old farm, I was like, there's something wrong with these deer. I was like, they're all the ribs are showing.
Right.
And when I started walking the property, I'm like, there's no food.
Nothing here.
And when I started putting trail cameras out, I think I showed you, but they were eating pine needles, which is a, you know, low on the totem pole for food source. But, yeah, I would say just like looking at the deer wise, it just fit the physical appearance.
Yeah.
If you see ribs showing, there's something going on.
Okay. So in my area, something, a physical attribute that you can actually go out and walk and see is the high browse line.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the browse line 6-7 feet tall, you know, and you can see through the woods for a long distance, you know, anything that's palatable is browsed up real high.
Yeah, they're getting on their hind legs and getting stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's one attribute here, and that's hard to rebuild. You know, we had a couple people ask, well, how do you build your browse? Well, that comes down to cutting trees again and getting sunlight down and, you know, allowing stuff to sprout up.
Managing your forest.
But I hunt public land, so I can't go do that, you know? Mm-hmm. So when
you got to find it.
Yeah. So you got to really go around and scrounge and, you know, maybe find an area where a storm went through and and knocked on, you know, some windfalls or something, you know, knocked on a bunch of trees or something like that, where it lets light down and then you get all that scrubby stuff growing up, you know, that type of thing. But that was something I thought about, you know. You got any more you
can think of? I mean, yeah. Example, the old farm when, you know, you were scouted too, is that place did have a select cut like 5 years previous to us hunting it. Mm-hmm. Even then it was still closed canopy a little. Mm-hmm. They didn't take a whole bunch, but there was woody regeneration coming out of the ground, but it was lip high.
Yeah.
All the deer were they were consuming everything they possibly could.
Right.
And then if you have, for instance, if you have like if you have like a bunch of honeysuckle on your property or autumn olive or something, and they're eating that, they're hungry, dude.
Yeah.
There's not, cause there's higher quality stuff that they can be eating. But when you're hungry, when I get hungry, I get angry. I get feisty. Like I get hangry. I'll eat anything. And that's how deer are when you're freaking hungry. I mean, what deer eat, what, 4, 5, 6, 7 pounds of food per day. I mean, you got to do something. And if you look across the country, the limiting factor is unmanaged forests. You know, they're everything's closed canopy. There's no sunlight hitting the ground. You got to have food. And it starts with, you can use food plots as a supplemental program, but it really, the base of it starts with managing the forest.
Another sign around here, like where I'm at, is all the deer stick close to the houses and the camps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and because not only is there some structure and safety there, and numbers too, because they seem to herd up around here like that. But what they do is they rummage our neighborhoods at night, you know, for anything you've got, you know, plants. And right now all the flowers are trying to come up. They're going along clipping off all the tulips and hostas and stuff, you know, in everybody's yard and eating their shrubs and things. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, so they're sticking tight. They know there's food here, so they're hanging out, you know. And if numbers were lower and they weren't running in these herds and things, you know, they would be more dispersed and they wouldn't be putting such a ponding around these houses and camps, eating all the ornamental stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, think about it. The most scarce time of the year for deer is really, you know, December, January, February, March. That's going to be, at least where we're at, that's a limited, you know, you got a 3-4 months of limited food. You hit March, end of March, April, you start, you know, things start greening up a little bit. Like here, you know, you drive down the road, it's always your honeysuckle and all that stuff greening up first. Then you see your maples starting to bloom out. But I mean, obviously deer can eat them, but that's what you usually see, is your honeysuckle and all that stuff greening up first. And then, you know, okay, things are greening up. It's just a matter of time. Deer will have, you know, more food in the next few weeks coming up.
Yeah, and it's then, getting to be that time where things start popping, and you know, the fields are starting to fill up around here right now. You know, because mm-hmm. they can tell things are getting ready to go.
Oh yeah, like the farmers and stuff around me, all the winter wheat, rye, and stuff. The you know, cover crops, they're green as could be.
Yeah.
So it's time where they're going to be having food. But when you're looking at your hunting property, you got to think about those 3 to 4 months window. How can I fill that gap of food? And is it, do you physically have too many deer, or is it that maybe you have a bunch of properties around you and you improved your property and you drew in these deer,
right?
And then they're just, you know, devouring everything on your property, which gives you the appearance of too many deer. It's not that there's too many deer within that square mile.
It's just the only place to come eat.
Right. It's the only place to come eat.
Kind of like the situation you got going on at your place. You know, you're getting tons of pictures right now in your leftover food plot because the farmer field 30, 40 yards away is dead. He sprayed it, plowed it. It's just an oasis of nothing, you know, and you still have some leftover stuff. So they're piling in there.
Yeah. And I think that's a good example is that, like I said, that people should think about is, you know, these agencies and these biologists and stuff, they come up with, okay, a healthy deer herd or, you know, a healthy number per square mile is say 25 to 30. That's usually what you typically hear. And that's per square mile. Okay. Well, there's a lot of variables in there. You know, some square miles may be able to handle more because the forest is managed better and there's more food. So, you know, just because you have 50 acres and you're seeing all these deer on your property, well, you're probably the only one in that area that's doing habitat improvements. So you're sucking in these deer. Mm-hmm. So it gives you this appearance of too many deer. And if that's the case, then either you have to shoot more, get some neighbors on board to kind of disperse them a little bit, improve your timber a little bit so they don't devour your food plots. There's so many variables in all of that stuff.
Yeah, I've been talking to my neighbors and asking them to shoot some more does, because, you know, it seems like the deer are making rounds, kind of like the turkeys do, you know, they come around and then they're gone for 2 or 3 days and then they're back, you know, but when they come around, you know, they bring all their cousins and uncles and aunts with them, man. I'm telling you, you see, you know, anywhere from 6 to 9 deer all huddled up together.
Are you talking neighbors on your side or the other side of the road?
Both.
Both.
I was trying to talk with them all and seeing if they would, you know, be willing to shoot some more does because, I mean, the ratio's pretty out of whack right now. I was trying to keep open communication with the neighbors, you know, see what they would want to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, if they don't want to do it, oh, well, I'll do my part, you know, kill as many as doe tags as I have. You know,
I need to, I think this year I want to try to kill does, get TJ to kill does, and I might even have to get somebody else to come over and pop a couple if I can find somebody to come up and shoot a couple does. Maybe, but yeah.
Yeah.
You got to balance it the way you can. I mean,
yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love sitting in my tree stand having 25 deer in front of me. Mm-hmm. That's great because I have enough plot and field to support them. So I don't care. But I do have a lot. And if they're not on the property I'm managing, where are those 25 deer going elsewhere and demolishing? They're ravishing someone else's property if they're not here. You know, if I wasn't feeding them, they're out ravishing something else. I don't mind feeding them, you know.
Yeah, which is a good point because you're seeing the concentration of them. If your food plots and stuff weren't there, those deer would be dispersed. They'd be probably separated.
Yeah.
You have 3 over there, 4 over here, 3 over there. They wouldn't be concentrated. Yeah. So it's.
That upsets a couple of the neighbors too, I believe, because they're not seeing as many deer on their little patch of ground, you know.
You made them mad.
Yeah, well.
They'll get over it though.
They'll get over it. Hey, I'm making healthy deer.
Puncher and steak.
So when they do come across their land, they'll have one that they're not looking at rib cages.
Are you excited about upcoming bucks this year or what?
I'm always excited about upcoming bucks. Heck yeah.
You should have some good ones.
Oh man, I not only did I have a deer problem, but so I say I have a doe problem, but when archery season came, it was ridiculous. I had a buck problem. It was just, it was silly. I mean, I've never hunted an area where the, and I don't know how to explain it, but it, when I was in the tree stand, I had multiple bucks in front of me, up and comers, you know, nothing shootable, but I had so many bucks. I had more buck sightings than doe sightings. You know, when I'm saying I had 15 deer in front of me or whatever, you know, I had 10 of them were buck, you know, and only 5 doe. And it's like, what is going on here?
Because usually
it's the opposite.
You have a doe factory.
Usually you have the doe factory and you have, you know, 10 does and a couple of bucks. Last year was just insane. So if all those bucks made it, which I'm sure 99% of them did,
probably.
Oh my gosh, it should be a buck factory again this year. You know, which
I'm excited. Cell cams. You got some cell cams, so
I'm excited.
Cool to see what's over there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm going to get some of those lithium trays, too.
Yeah.
For at least 2 of them, so I don't have to keep running out and replacing batteries.
Right.
But that's another way to tell if you've got too many deer. Get yourself some good cameras and get out there and take some inventory.
Mm-hmm.
How about it?
Yeah, do it.
You're a camera addict.
I am. I just pre-ordered another camera.
Silly.
Yeah.
The guy's an addict.
A lot of people think we all get free stuff, but I buy stuff. So
no one's buying me them lithium trays of $50 a pop.
Nobody's buying me what are they called? The Nimya
yeah, the batteries.
AA batteries that I just bought like 6 packs of them. Nobody bought them for me.
Yeah, what was it? $45 for 24 of them?
$38, I think. Man. So. It's crazy.
Steep.
Dumb. But I bought I pre-ordered, I should say, the new stealth cam.
So it's not out yet then? Or?
No, I think it comes out early summer. Okay. But it takes 360 picture video. So it's got a lens all the way around it. And I guess it'd be good for field stuff, but you can see it all directions. So I ordered that and a solar panel. That way I can stick it somewhere out in the field and get 360
that'd be neat
picture.
You could see them coming to steal it.
I could, well, yeah. Yeah, exactly. But I could see, I think it'd be helpful to help, you know, if somebody's struggling, okay, well, where's the deer coming from? Well, now you got a 360 camera and you can see where they're coming from.
Right.
I'm just curious. I never had that camera. I don't even know if they've made one before, but this, I don't know. We'll see how it goes, but I'm excited for it.
Yeah. If it works, it'd be pretty cool. Like you said, you can see the approaching deer.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and hey, where do I want to hang my tree stand? Well, they're coming out this corner.
Okay. Right. It wasn't terribly expensive either. Hmm. It was like $154.
Yeah. A lot of that stuff's coming down. I think
it is.
There's such a market. I mean, there's so much competitiveness right now, I think.
Right.
So that's good, though. It brings the prices down.
Yeah, they got to be competitive. I know the sell plans come down, too, every year. You know, they'll get a dollar cheaper. And you have to be competitive with it.
Yeah. I've seen some as low as $3 now.
Yeah. Yeah, they're getting low.
You know, even, you know, Tacticam, you can get one as low as $5.
Yeah. I think Stealth's the lowest you can get is 5 as well. Okay. But yeah, let's jump into this last part. And I was telling you about it before we started this, but over the weekend I went to my property and I cut trees.
Yeah.
And it's on the south side, south facing slope. And it was back in a bedding area that I cut in 2 years ago. Well, there were some beech trees up there, fairly large ones that I cut on the lower side, and people that watch the video know what I'm talking about, but it was on the lower side below the highest point of where the bedding area was. Well, I wanted to cut that to get more sunlight into that bedding area. And also made the bedding area a little bit bigger. And I cut trees down below as well. But my main purpose was to get more sunlight in there into the ridge top. And then also I main focus was beech trees and maples. And I cut the maples, you know, flush cut them, and the beech trees. And because I wanted the stump sprouts, because back in that timbered spot in that ridge, a lot of the bucks run in that area during the rut. And I have a stand back there, and it's high activity during the rut time. And also I wanted to increase the food. So, and if you talk to guys, and this is where I might get a little fired up. And it refers back to two podcasts ago when I gave the Mr. Miyagi speech. If you talk to, say, for instance, Grant Woods, he'll tell you he doesn't cut the trees down. He hack and squirts them and kills the tree standing because he doesn't want to deal with the regrowth of woody browse. He lets the tree stand, kills it by hack and squirting, and just allows the sunlight to come in, and then he burns it, right? Well, he's out in Missouri, okay, in a warmer climate, you know, technically. And that's what he does, okay? He doesn't want to cut the trees. Well, that is his way of doing it. It works for him. That's what he does. Who cares? Yeah. Mm-hmm. You get another guy, such as, I don't know. But you get another guy, and he'll cut the trees because he wants the stump sprouts. Mm-hmm. Then you get another guy that all he wants to do is hinge cut. You know, so each person has their own way of doing it. And I posted this video yesterday, and this guy commented today. It says, "You better go back in and treat the stumps, otherwise you're going to have a mess." Okay. I get it. But first of all, don't tell me I better do something, because that's just not, I don't like that. Maybe make a suggestion, right? But don't tell somebody you better go do this, you better go do that.
You don't know what's happening.
You don't know what's happening. So first of all, it wasn't so many beech trees to where it's going to overtake the entire forest. You know, right. I want the stump sprouts. The deer hammer the beech tree stump sprouts. They hammer the maple stump sprouts. Mm-hmm. I wanted that. Woody browse in the situation. I mean, you're in central PA. This is in western PA, west central PA. Dude, I mean, the winters are harsh.
We need the browse.
Snow. I mean, that place gets snow. I mean, you get snow, cold. I mean, it's bitter.
Snow again this week, I heard.
I know. And that's why I wanted these stump sprouts. Deer eat woody browse. So I get situations where, okay, if you go into a complete timber cut, a complete clear cut, in 5-7 years, you're going to have a freaking mess.
Yeah.
A mess that you need to maintain. Okay. The 10 beech trees that I cut down.
Right.
I'm not worried about it ruining my, you know, property. And yeah. If it gets to a point where the stump sprouts start getting above the deer's reach, I can go back in and maintain that.
Just go flush cut it again.
Yeah. It's just a small bedding area. It's not like I clear cut or cut 100 trees out of 70, you know what I mean? 70 acres to where in 5 years, I'm going to have a heck of a time maintaining it. Each property and situation is different. For instance, I'm going to South Central Virginia this weekend, or this week. I leave tomorrow. And when I talked to the landowner on the phone, they're from North Carolina, and he said he loves clear cuts. He said down in North Carolina, they clear cut 80 acres, 100 acres, and they absolutely love it. Deer flood the area. And his goal, he told me, he won't even be there. I'm walking with his son. He wants a minimum out of these 300 acres. He wants a minimum of 80 acres clear cut. That's what he wants. He said, I don't want you to come out unless you're not going to at least give me 80 acres of clear cut.
Wow.
So I have to work within his goals, and I can talk, you know.
So he just wants you to lay out an area that you think 80 acres should be cleared?
Yes, he wants.
Out of that 300 acre plus.
Yes. Piece. It doesn't have to be continuous. It could be separate spots.
Okay.
But he just wants a total of 80 acres clear cut. Okay. And he wants me to tell him where to do that. Obviously, we're doing a whole plan. But mm-hmm. the clear cut, he just wants to know where it goes because he has friends that are foresters and they can come in and clear cut it for him.
Okay.
I said, that's fine. So I'm going to work with them on the entire property and designing, you know, this, and this, food plots and everything else. But, you know, that's just my rant is that everybody does something differently. Don't tell some, I'm not going to tell you. Well, I might tell you because we're, you know, friend, we joke around, but somebody you don't know, like, don't tell them they better do something.
Right, right. Every yeah, well, person, they don't know your situation.
Yeah, they don't know, man. That's why I think people have.
They just have one track mind.
One track mind of something. Yes, something they did, and they think that it applies to every single person.
Yeah.
It does not, and it bothers me so bad because it's in everything. Food plots, it's in baseball, football. It's in this, it's in that. You could go outside walking and somebody's going to tell you you're doing it wrong. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's crazy. And I'm not bashing this guy. I don't know this guy, but it's
you just can't please everybody.
I made a video about a bedding area. I gave an update on a bedding area. I showed all the brows regrowing, what trees I was cutting, the sunlight coming in. And then still you get somebody that says, you better go back and blah, 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 blah. No, like, relax. It's not your problem. Who cares? If it overtakes my forest, what's it care? What do you care? It doesn't affect you. I get it. And he could have been just making a suggestion and maybe I was taking it wrong. I don't know, but, I just don't like when somebody says you better do this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause you know what? If somebody tells me I better do it, I'm going to do it even more.
Well, you better wrap it up, Dave.
We are. So, all right, yeah, we'll wrap it up, and next weekend I'll cut more beech trees. So, well, anyway,
better treat them stumps then.
I know, gotta treat them.
You better.
I will. That's all I got.
That was 67. See ya.
Beech tree.